Hello and welcome to Culture Shots. My name is Anne Healy. In this programme, my co-presenter Tina Dio and I will examine workplace exploitation that occurs for migrant women who come to work here in family homes as domestics, nannies and carers. It is a well-documented fact that domestic workers worldwide are exploited. They work excessive hours, they are underpaid, they are disrespected, at times they are treated like slaves. Migrant women come here to work in private homes for a number of reasons, but they all want a better life and often want to send money home to their families. In my research for the programme, I began to see that these women's experiences were often similar to Irish women who left here in the late 1800s to early 1900s, who also left for economic reasons and hoping for a better life. Like the migrant women who come here to work, they often experienced hardship, exploitation, and social stigma. In addition, these women experience loneliness. For example, in a book entitled Irish Immigrant Women in Domestic Service in America 1840-1930 by Margaret Smith Brennan, she quotes from a letter from Mary O'Hanlon, who, when writing home to her mother, said, "My dear mother, after I came here at times, I thought my heart would break thinking of you." And in relation to her long working hours and hard work, she wrote that she had so much to do that it was difficult for her to finish a letter. I wish to acknowledge also, of course, that many women that immigrated during that period had very positive experiences. However, for many women who come to work in the domestic sector here, that is not the case. Migrant Rights Centre Ireland supports these women. And on today's programme, Tina Dio interviews Aoife Smith, who runs the Domestic Women's Action Group, and she also spoke to Marion Barty, who experienced workplace exploitation. What is shocking and upsetting for me to discover that there were so many similar experiences that the women who come to work here in the domestic sector share with the women who immigrated from Ireland over 150 years ago to work as domestics. Now you're going to hear Tina Dio speaking to Aoife Smith, who runs the Domestic Workers Action Group.
Hello, welcome to Neo 90 FM, and I'm here with Aoife Smith from Migrant Rights Centre. Aoife, can you tell me about your role in the Migrant Rights Centre of Ireland?
Well, my role in the Migrant Rights Centre is I'm the coordinator of the Domestic Workers Action Group.
Yeah.
So I work with a group of about 250 migrant women from every corner of the world, from Africa, from Asia, from Europe and from Americas. And we bring women together to campaign for justice and rights and recognition of women who work in private homes. So when I say private homes, I mean they'd work as carers, as cleaners, as childminders, as nannies, as cooks. But the one thing that unites them all and that they all share in common is that they all work in other people's private homes.
Can you tell me about what the Migrant Rights Centre of Ireland does and when it was founded?
Yeah, so we started up back in 2001, and that was a time in Ireland when there was inward migration just really started to come into Ireland in the late 1990s. And before that, we didn't really have much experience of people wanting to come and live and work in Ireland because we were faced with poverty and recession ourselves back then. So in 2001, we noticed that there was a gap in services and information available to migrant workers who were coming here. They weren't aware of where they could go to find information on their rights and their entitlements. We found that many were being exploited. And with that in mind, we decided to set up a kind of a drop-in centre where people could come in and access information on their rights and entitlements. And since then, we've grown and we've become a campaigning organisation. So we would work with migrant workers and their families, find out what the issues are for them. And from listening to them, we would try and develop campaigns that will bring around positive change in their daily lives and encourage their more full and equal participation in Irish society.
What other campaign issues have you been successful with?
Some of our priorities were to work with undocumented migrants, so those migrants who are here to work who don't have any legal status, don't have immigration papers, others who have been exploited from mild exploitation where they may not have been receiving their full wages, or maybe they're working too many hours, to extreme exploitation like trafficking for forced labour. So it's been a challenge over the years. This year we're together 10 years, so it'll be our 10th anniversary in MRCI, and I think we've been quite successful in raising awareness of these issues. With regards to undocumented workers, we were successful in getting a campaign together that gives undocumented workers who once were documented access to becoming documented again through a bridging visa. With regard to trafficking for forced labour, we've got a forced labour subgroup and action group who are trying to raise awareness around, you know, modern day slavery in Ireland, and trying to work with the authorities here to try and criminalise that. And with workplace exploitation, we deal with a number of individuals on a weekly basis, and we take cases to the labour courts for them. And I think since 2006, we've reclaimed something in the area of 1.3 million in loss of wages for workers. So the road has been a long struggle, but you know, we've gotten some justice and change is happening.
Can you tell me a bit about your campaign in Geneva?
In particular, in the role that I'm doing as a domestic workers coordinator, we had a great victory this year when we've been, the Domestic Workers Action Group have been campaigning for the last 2 years for international legislation to protect domestic workers. That would be footing that is set out at UN level by the International Labour Organization, that recognises domestic work as work and establishes standards, international standards, for the rights of domestic workers. And recently in Geneva, that was just passed by 189 different governments. So that was a great win. Domestic workers worldwide have been struggling to get that on the map for the last 63 years. So we've been celebrating that this summer.
Wow. So when is it, where is the celebrations going to be taking place?
Well, they have been happening in different countries since the convention was passed in June the 16th. Okay. We had our last meeting with the domestic workers Sunday 2 weeks ago, and we had a small celebration that day as well. The next struggle is to get our government to ratify it, so to make Irish law, to put it in line with the convention. And once we get that, we'll be having a very big celebration.
Have you encountered any challenges within your work?
What challenges we face?
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose externally, the challenges we face at the moment would be like the economic recession, you know, losing budgets, especially because we're a non-governmental organisation. Yeah. Funding is always an issue. For workers themselves, I suppose the recession impacts on them too, particularly for domestic workers. Many of their employers are losing their jobs, so that means the employers have less money. They try to pass that on to the worker, so the worker may be expected to work longer hours for less money. With regards to workers coming forward to complain about exploitation, people are afraid to lose their job. There's so much unemployment at the moment, so they're staying in exploitative situations for fear of losing their job, even though they're not receiving their full rights. So it's a difficult time out there, both in lobbying government and for getting people to stand up for their rights.
What other campaign issues have you been successful with?
So at the moment, we're running a number of campaigns. Each of the different kind of sectors within MRCI would constantly have their own campaigns going. So the domestic workers would have campaigns going, the Restaurant Workers Action Group would have campaigns going. But probably two of our biggest ones at the moment that we're trying to focus on would be, we're introducing a campaign. It's a regularisation campaign to get the undocumented workers. We estimate there's about 30,000 undocumented workers in Ireland, and we're trying to lobby for a regularisation campaign that would give them legal status in Ireland. The way we see it is that these workers are here to work, they consider it to be their home, they've been contributing. Our research shows that, you know, workers without documents are much more vulnerable to exploitation. There's health issues, they can't access social welfare. So for us, it makes sense to have workers who are here working, to have them on the best legal footing so that their rights are protected. And that, to us, that means a regularisation of undocumented workers.
What have been your experience working with migrants?
Okay, so personally, I've been in the Migrant Rights Centre for the last 3 years, and I've thoroughly enjoyed every single day that I've been there. It's been loads of new experiences. You've got people coming in and out with different situations every day, but then to see people come in that may have been undocumented and leave with immigration status, to see people come in that have been exploited and leave feeling empowered, it's a really privileged position to be in.
Okay, so How can people get in touch with you?
The Migrant Rights Centre, you can visit www.mrci.ie. That's our internet site. Or else you can find us on Facebook. Just look for the Migrant Rights Centre Ireland. Otherwise, our phone number is 01-8897-570.
Okay, thank you very much, Aoife. You're welcome to Near Anti FM. And I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
That was Tina Dio speaking to Aoife Smith, who is coordinator of the Domestic Workers Action Group. Next up is a song from Bob Marley called Stand Up For Your Rights.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up.
You have just listened to Bob Marley singing Stand Up For Your Rights. Now we are going to hear Tina Dio speaking to Mariam Barty. Mariam is a member of the Domestic Workers Action Group.
Hello, my name is Tina from Near 90 FM, and today I'm together with Mariam in MRCI, and we're going to talk about Domestic Action Group. So Mariam, could you tell me about yourself, please?
Hi Tina, thanks for having me here. My name is Mariam. I've been with the Domestic Workers Action Group for a year now, and I became a member of the group after I experienced some kind of labor exploitation. After all that happened, I felt that I needed to be with some people that would empower me, people that I could maybe share experiences with, people that I had things in common with. Well, it was after I got invited by somebody to come and work for her as an au pair. At that time, I did not understand what an au pair was. I kind of thought it was something to do with looking after children, but I couldn't really tell the difference between a childminder, a full-time childminder, and an au pair. At that time, I just thought, okay, I was supposed to look after children. But when she talked to me on the phone, she said she had two children. She wanted somebody to look after her children while she was at work, and I assumed that while she was at work meant that I would work maybe say from 9 to maybe 5, right? And then when I got here, the hours were just so long, like they were from 7 in the morning until 10 or 11 at night. And for the first 2 weeks, I didn't have an off day or anything. And I was expected to do everything, like the school runs, the cooking, the looking after the children, babysitting, taking them for walks, just all in one.
Okay, so you mean you had a call from back home to come and work here, and when you found that this kind of situation happening like that, what do you do?
Well, honestly, if you are somebody like, say, you've never been in Ireland, it's really hard to be able to be that careful to ask a lot of questions. When someone says, I have a job, you just say, okay, what is the job? Looking after my children. And she did ask what I wanted to do. So I told her that I would like to study. So I think that being an au pair meant that I'll be able to look after the kids and study as well. But most of the times you don't ask about a lot of things like the contract and all that. You have no idea about that. And then you just ask, okay, how much are you going to pay me? And she said, I'm offering 400 euro a month. And I said, okay. And she said, and you'll have to buy your own ticket. And I said, okay. So I had some money saved for my university for that year. I took that money and bought a ticket. And I came over.
So, Marian, how are you feeling? Because you come here all alone. And do you have any friends to share all this problem with?
Now that is a problem that a lot of domestic workers face, Tina, that they don't really have friends because employers don't allow them time to make friends. Maybe they are afraid that they will talk to people that maybe might know that what the employers are doing to them is wrong, you know. So usually they don't allow their workers to go out and talk to people. So myself at that time as well, I was in that situation. When I got there, my employer said to me, I wasn't allowed to go out without her knowledge. And I would have to say, I had met somebody, like say some friends, other child minders. If say on a Sunday I was off and I wanted to go for a sleepover or something like that, she said I should give her 2 weeks' notice, leave the name and the address of the person that I was visiting and say how I had known those people. So it's really hard. It was really hard to make friends because most of the time when I went to the park out, it was only when I went to leave the kids at school, collect them, and then go to the park. That was the only place, so it was really hard. I had no idea at that moment that about the pay, the salaries and other things that were unjust, but the way I was being treated, somehow I felt that it wasn't right. The fact that I was overworked, and the first 2 weeks, three weeks, I wanted to go back home, and I said to her, I think I should go back home, and she said, you don't just come here and expect to change your mind just like that. It's inconveniencing me, which I also understood. But then I said to her, the hours are just so long, it's not what I expected. She said, well, if you want to go back, you can go back, but I'm not going to pay you for the 3 weeks that you have worked. And because of that, I felt that I had taken my last savings to come here and to just go back like that empty-handed. So I decided to stay, and I decided that I was going to work more months and try to maybe get some course to do. And then maybe if I went to college, I would meet new people, and then I'll meet a better employer. That was the only hope at that moment.
Do you be able to get a chance to go to the college?
No, I did not get the chance, but that was how we spoke before I left my country. It's very common that these people would make promises like those, but when you get here, it's not that. Because when I got here and I said to her, I need to go and register for a course now, after 3 months when I had saved enough money for the course, she said, "Why? What's the rush?" And I said to her, well, I want to because I'm worried. I was illegal at that time. You know, when I got here, I was just given a temporary stamp. And I said to her, you had said you'd apply for something like some kind of permit that I need to work here. She said, why should you worry about that? You're not the first girl to come and work here illegal. There are so many people. Nothing will happen to you. I really got scared because every day I would think that even when I was sick, I wouldn't be able to go to the hospital because I thought the first thing they would ask for would be identification. I was even afraid to talk to people when they asked me who I was and where I was from. I was even afraid to open my mouth because I just didn't know what I would say that would trigger anything, you know. So it was. So when I said to her, I wanted to go to school, and she said, no, there's no rush. You can work for 2 or 3 years, save some money, and then go to a very nice college like Trinity College, because these small colleges, they won't even give you a student visa. So they actually give you the wrong information. They know that you know nothing about the country. You know nothing about anything. So you have no idea about whatever is happening around. So they can just twist your mind like that, and you believe whatever they say because you don't have any other information. You don't have people that they can give you better information.
Did anything come to your mind about the solution, how I can be able to get out of this?
I couldn't really think of any because I felt I was trapped. There was nothing else that I could do. I tried to phone the police, I think 3 or 4 times. I didn't give them my name, but I told them that I'm here because somebody invited me to come and work for her, and she had said she would apply some kind of permit for me to be here, but she hasn't done that, and I'm now illegal in the country. I'm afraid, and I'm working 6 days a week, a minimum of 12 to 14 hours. I'm getting 400 euro a month. And they say to me, you are not allowed to work, and anyway, we cannot do anything about your immigration status. You just have to leave the country. That's the person I spoke to. Well, if I had taken the name, it would have been better, but at that time I didn't think of. So each time I phoned, I really never got any help. After 4 months, after I had enough money for the course, I decided that that was not the way to go on because the woman was not even friendly or anything. Whenever the kids were really lovely, I still miss them. But she was just a naturally aggressive person. You wouldn't sit, be like a family with them. You wouldn't feel like asking anything. Each time she came home, you'll feel like updating her on the kids and then just running to your room and just locking yourself in there. So it got to some time when I went to register for a course because I was trying to get myself out of the situation that I was illegal. I was trying to fix my own immigration status by going to some college to book for a course. So after I told the people at the college advised me that she's supposed to write me a letter that I live with her, and that I'm going to be an au pair for her while I'm studying, because they needed to know how I'll support myself while in Ireland. So when I went back to her, she said she was not going to help me. And I said, why? She said, because you're growing wings. You just want to do things in a hurry. I said, no, I'm not doing things in a hurry. Being illegal, nobody knows that pain. So 4 months was like hell for me. She wanted me to work like three years in that situation. I couldn't. So I decided that I'll do that. So she threatened that she was going to, if I try to find another family, because she said she was not going to write me a letter that I was going to be an au pair for her. And then I said, okay, it's fine. Then I think I will try to start looking for another family. And you know why I was saying that? Because I was honest. And secondly, I was thinking of the kids, that, okay, fine, say she pays me at the end of the month and then I just go. What will happen to the kid? But I just wanted her to be prepared as well. I was also prepared that if I was going to leave the job, the lady was coming to look after the kids, I was going to spend maybe like a week, even if she wasn't going to pay me, I was prepared to do that so I could let the kids get used to the routine with the new person. But she said, no, I'm not going to do that. Actually, you can go or do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to phone the police and tell them that you're in the country illegally. You were in my house as a guest and you just disappeared from the house. You just left the house and went, I don't know where. So I was talking to this friend online that I'm having a problem like this. I don't even know what to do now. I'm stuck. And then the friend said, well, you could come over. We could talk about it. And that time, because at first she had taken my passport, but when I went to the college, I lied to her and I said, at the college, they need to see the passport because I'm going to book for a course. Could I have my passport back? And she gave me back the passport and she said, make sure when you come back from there, you're done with it, you give it back. But in my heart, I knew that it is mine. It is my identity. I'm not going to give her back willingly unless she hits me or she takes it by force. So I took my documents and this other contract that she had given me, but it wasn't signed. I met a member of the Domestic Workers Action Group, you know. So when I spoke to the girl, she said, okay, I know people that can help you. She brought me to Migrants Rights Center. And since then, I met you guys and the other girls. And you know how it's been like. I got support. I got a lot of help. That's when I began to know about the rights and all that, and a minimum wage that I had no idea about, you know, and how important it is to be one when you're doing something so that you can be able to fight back, because this is the only way we can fight back. We can fight with those employers, most of them, you know, they are rich people, they are ambassadors, they are doctors, they are lawyers, they are very rich people that we have, even besides physical strength, maybe we don't have even the intellectual strength to fight them. But as we are together and sharing our experiences and trying to be part of changing the system, that helps. We all had the same stories and we were all here for the same reasons, and the girls were happy and talking about, okay, now this is maybe we should do this to make sure the system changes and all that. We're sharing ideas and we're supporting each other, empowering each other. That is really amazing. Instead of sitting there and crying about it, of course, we will always talk about what happened, but just to give people a background of where you're coming from. But that's not the whole point. The whole point is to be united, to work hard towards change. In Ireland, there is no law that criminalizes forced labor. I would say, really, if somebody is in a situation like that, the best thing, there is no any other thing than talking. If you don't talk, people will not know. I know that it's hard, and if you are afraid and you think that if I talk, the next thing they'll do is just grab me and put me on a plane and deport me. They are going to follow the case and see what is happening. And if you don't help the government to clean this kind of acts, there is no way they can know. If we come forward and talk, and they'll know, and they'll find better ways to deal with the problem.
You have just listened to Tina Dio speaking to Mariam Barty, who is a member of the Domestic Workers Action Group. It is wonderful that there are organisations like the Migrant Rights Centre Ireland and women like Mariam who support and campaign for rights for people who are exploited. And to end on a positive note, the adoption by the International Labour Organization on June 16th of this year of a new and groundbreaking treaty will extend key labour protections to domestic workers and will protect millions who have been without guarantees of basic human rights. It will establish the first global standards for the estimated 50 to 100 million domestic workers worldwide, most of whom are women and girls. Of course, countries will have to ratify the treaty, so let's hope that will happen. My thanks to Aoife Smith, Miriam Barty, to my co-presenter, Tina Dio, and a big thanks to Grace Willens for ongoing support, guidance, and for editing the material for this programme and operating the sound desk. If you missed an episode of Culture Shots, log on to nearpodcast.org and search for Culture Shots. Thank you for listening. This is Anne Healy.
The content and views expressed in this programme is of the participants alone and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of Pubble, the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration, or the European Commission.
This project is co-financed by the European Commission under the European Integration Fund and is supported by the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration in the Department of Justice and Equality and Pubble.